Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them. Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome back to The Herd. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd as he is on vacation this week. Thank you for joining us on FS1 and Fox Sports Radio. It's been a fun week. A lot of NBA news. Hopefully we'll get some news on the Deshaun Watson situation today or tomorrow as those hearings are going on. Alex Curry is joining me in studio. We're having a little weird deja vu moment.
I wish there was some time to fly on the wall or a camera on the wall that like got the in-between commercial break moments where we're just singing to ourselves. We're either not talking. Singing the same song.
it's weird stuff that goes on in the breaks. That's all I'm saying. We need like the Herd in the break.
Yeah.
Show.
Secret hidden camera.
Yes. Melissa Rowland will join us in studio, Fox Sports NBA reporter, in just a few moments. But as I teased before the break, I'm getting very excited about Justin Fields. I really enjoyed seeing the spark from Justin Fields last year. I guess I'm a bit of an elitist. I like big brands being successful, mostly because it's great for the leagues. And when the leagues do better, we do better and I do better. And so I'm selfish. I like when big brands are successful. It irritates me when the Giants are down. The Giants should be great. They're in New York. They should be better. That's better for everyone. When the Knicks are good, it is wildfire like around the league. That's what I want. And Chicago has obviously struggled at the quarterback position for a long time. Well, now they have Justin Fields, and he has a connection. Let's take a listen to Mooney, who caught 81 passes for over 1,000 yards and 4 touchdowns last year with Chicago, and he is singing Justin Fields praises.
Just locking in and knowing what he wants to do with this offense, with this team, and him as a quarterback in this lead. He wants to, you know, take over the lead, and he's already Justin Fields, I mean, but he wants to be, you know, the best quarterback in the league. So, and he's taking the stride to, you know, be there, and then I got unbelievable faith that he will be there, and his success is my success. So, as long as he's doing good, I'm doing good. I mean, we're all doing good.
Yeah, Darnell Mooney is right. If he can take over the league the way that he wants to, it's going to be a different league. I think that the NFC North is not quite going to look the same as it always has. I mean, they went 6-11 last year, and they have a new offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, and a new coach. And if he can bring this team back to relevancy and win playoff games, he is going to be legend status, and it would be so fun for the league. So part of me is rooting for this to happen, but I also think that we saw enough star quality in Justin Fields that if he continues to develop the way Darnell Mooney was talking about, we are going to see a different NFL. When the Chicago Bears are in the playoffs and winning playoff games, like, that's something to get excited about. They haven't won a playoff game since 2010. So we don't remember quite what that feeling was, because that was quite a while ago. And the other thing is that everyone in Green Bay is acting like it's no big deal that Devontae Adams is gone. Devontae had 123 receptions and 169 targets from Aaron Rodgers last year. He's no longer there. The next closest target was Aaron Jones, who had 52 and 65 targets. 52 receptions, 65 targets. That's a slight discrepancy. So I don't think that the division is going to look the same over the next few years. I'm very excited about Justin Fields. I hope he continues to develop. And I had no doubt about his leadership ability and him being able to go in there and command respect in the locker room and around that city, who got obviously very excited about him. But I'm looking forward to seeing how he plays this year and how they take a step up. My question about how that's going to go is, of course, the organization, because we haven't seen that in a while.
Who are your top teams that you said, you know, when they're great, the league is great?
I mean, I think it's New York. I think it's Chicago. You know, you have big brands. Obviously, yeah. Dallas finds a way to be interesting even when they're not great, because they've won 3 playoff games in the last 25 years and they're the biggest brand in all of sports. So they have the special sauce to stay relevant when they don't win in the postseason somehow. I'm going to just take shots at Dallas all year long. They're going to be so irritated with me.
Dude, the one yesterday was epic.
Yeah, I mean, it would be Dallas. I mean, Los Angeles having a Super Bowl winning team is massive. Now, we didn't have a team here. Now we have 2.
Yeah.
So that's important. I think San Francisco is a team that needs to be competitive.
Okay.
And I don't have anything against small markets. I mean, I'm from Pittsburgh, and you know, you have Kansas City being relevant. Denver being relevant again is important. I just think for balance around the country, having those big, massive brands relative and playing in the postseason and winning postseason games is different than just being competitive.
Okay.
Because you're always going to have those fan bases be attached to these teams. Like, the NFL is not, like, they're not going anywhere. And Jacksonville maybe, but, you know, it is what it is. Well, and even when they're good, their fan base rallies around them. So it's a little different in the NFL because of just the massive nature of the sport. But I do think those big brands being relevant and winning playoff games is really important for the league. So I'm excited about Chicago, and I hope that Justin Fields has a lot of success there. Let's bring in Melissa Rowland, Fox Sports NBA reporter, joining us again in studio. Very exciting. Hello, Melissa. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. How are you?
Great. Don't mind me and Alex being weirdos.
I love the singing.
Yeah. Melissa was here in the studio when we were being all weird. Thanks again for joining us, Melissa Rowland, Fox Sports NBA reporter. And you covered the Warriors for a while. And so I believe we had you on before the championship, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So we were in the middle of the playoffs. So what was your reaction to the finals? I guess we'll start there since we hadn't talked to you about it, because I thought it was a tremendous postseason. I thought it was a great finals. I really enjoyed it. I would have liked for it to go to game 7 because selfishly, I like game 7s, but it's fine. It went to a game 6 and it was a very exciting series. What was your take on the finals?
I really wanted a game 7 too. I thought it was a really interesting finals. You know, having covered the Warriors and being there when they were at the top of their dynasty and then seeing them just completely fall off, 2 losing seasons, finishing with the worst record in the league, 19 wins, Joy, just 2 years ago, to climbing the mountain again, seeing all of their stories, you know, Klay Thompson coming back from 2.5 years of injuries, seeing Steph, his greatness being questioned and him leading the team to the top again. It was really beautiful to see, actually.
Yeah, I loved it for Steph Curry. And now we're getting all of these stories about the finals from Draymond Green. And one of the sound bites that we played earlier from Draymond with the Old Man and the Three and Draymond Green Show podcast in the Volume was that he talked about what happened in game four with the hostile crowd in Boston and Steph sort of stepping in and directing the energy of the crowd towards him, giving him a little bit of, space and, ability to kind of come down emotionally, which is really strange for Draymond Green because we think of him as this, guy that likes that kind of attention. What did you think when you heard that? Does that surprise you coming from Draymond?
It was interesting because after that game, everybody was asked, what did you think of those chants?
Right.
And Klay Thompson, Steve Kerr, they sarcastically called it real classy. They were upset by it. Everybody kind of expressed, disappointment in hearing 20,000 fans chant that obscenity. And the only person who claimed that they was not upset by that chant was Draymond Green himself. He said, I love it. It motivates me. So it was interesting to hear him reveal that it actually did kind of upset him. It kind of took him out of his game. It was interesting hearing him acknowledge that. That being said, it was also really cool to hear him say that he thinks that Steph Curry went off for 43 points yeah. in defense of him. And it's so funny to me because their relationship is so beautiful and it didn't start out that way. When they first became teammates, they didn't think that they'd like each other. They're so different. Steph's background, he comes from privilege. Dre obviously came from poverty in Saginaw. They have different approaches. Draymond is really outgoing, talkative. Steph is a lot more quiet. They didn't think they'd become friends. And now they're brothers. And they have each other's backs and they really play for each other.
Melissa Rowland in studio with us, Fox Sports NBA reporter. Yeah, we talked about that earlier where the connection and the emotional intelligence that Steph Curry has to even know to do that in that moment. So talk about their relationship a little bit, because I do think it's interesting. Me and Alex were talking earlier about, how much do you need to be friends? If you respect each other, do you really need to be friends to win a championship? We've seen different. We watched The Last Dance. These guys were tackling each other. not necessarily friends, but they had a respect for each other. Is that the case, or are they truly friends?
They're truly friends. I actually talked to both of them about this earlier this season, wrote a piece on it, and they told me stories about what their friendship is like behind the scenes. And essentially, they stick up for each other. They really have each other's backs. They really bonded also recently over both being fathers and just, they've been with each other for 10 years. They've seen each other through all of these different stages in each other's lives, and they've become each other's supports. And, when you especially have so many, 5 straight NBA Finals appearances, 4 championships in 8 years. They spend so much time together. They've played more than an extra season and a half of basketball over that period of time. And so they've spent more time with each other than their own families. And through that time, they've developed such a deep love for one another.
So there was a pettiness that that you talked about in your latest article with the Warriors. And a little bit of that in game four was Steph, there was that moment where Steph was kind of running around doing that thing that, some people don't like that Steph does when he gloats a little bit. I love it. Humble is not my brand. I don't care. I'm sure if you've seen my social media, you can tell. So I love it. And I also think if you're winning, you get to do that, which is why I don't have a problem with any of it. I'm sure Boston fans loved hearing that Draymond was upset, but y'all lost. So, I don't know what to tell you. It didn't work. But congrats on rattling Draymond Green and making Steph go off for 43. But talk a little bit about that pettiness.
It was a lot of fun to see, actually, because the Warriors aren't a petty team. Like Draymond, if anybody, is the guy who veers closest to that. He's obviously the mouth of the team, the soul of the team, but Steph's a quiet guy. He doesn't trash talk.
Are they not petty? I don't know that I would say that.
Really?
Yeah. I think Klay took a little jab, in the press conference. I think Draymond is definitely someone I would describe as fully on petty. And just full transparency here, I am a petty person. Yeah. I embrace it. I don't deny that this is my toxic trait.
Yeah.
And I think for some people it is empowering. But Steph is, like you mentioned, the shimmy. That's been going on for a while now.
Right. There's definitely little things, don't get me wrong, but you saw it grow into this full-blown, beautiful pettiness during the NBA Finals. Like, especially Klay, he's a guy who doesn't really talk much. Like, yeah. He likes to talk to his dog more than other humans. And then after he wins the NBA championship, you have him bringing up, unsolicited, mind you, that Twitter exchange between, you know, him and that Memphis player where the Memphis player brought up, you know, the Warriors' previous motto. And
strength in numbers.
Strength in numbers. Yeah. And it really irked him. It pissed him off for months after that, to the point where he brought it up after the Warriors won. And then you see Steph wearing a shirt that says Ayesha Curry can cook, mm-hmm. and Draymond takes a bunch of shots at the Celtics players. I think what happened was during those 2 years when they were counted out, they really got a chip on their shoulders. You know, people, especially when Steph held up zeros over his eyes, making fun of ESPN analysts who claim that's how many championships the Warriors would win over the next 4 years, they remembered slights like that, and they used it as motivation during the finals. So these guys who aren't known for typically being petty, they relied on that, and they used that as motivation. Similarly to how, like, Kobe, when he shot alone in the gym, he'd think of every negative thing anybody ever said about him. Or similarly, like, a lot of the all-time greats use pettiness as motivation.
Yeah, that's what I do when I'm in the gym. I remember Tom 74657 said I was fat on Twitter. Let me do an extra rep. That's not true. Don't get crazy, Tom. I think it's very Patriot-like, actually, because to your point, they were bad for 2 years. And when they are favored, the Patriots would do this thing where they'd convince the entire locker room and everyone in the organization that they were underdogs when they were really favored to win the championship every year. I mean, I feel like I was the lone one, like, hello, the Patriots are really good. It's Bill Belichick, it's Tom Brady. Like, why are we talking about them like it's like this miracle that yeah. they're back again? And they are... There's remnants, I guess, when you have dynasties to each one. What is unique about this? Because we are now officially in a dynasty. What is unique about this particular dynasty?
What's unique about it is that they were dead.
Yeah.
And most dynasties, once they end, they don't come back to life. And they resuscitated themselves. I mean, nobody thought that they'd be a championship team this season. They defied all odds. You know, both Steph, Draymond, Klay, they're all 32, 34 years old. There's a bunch of young players who were unproven. Everybody came together during the NBA championship run in a way that nobody expected. Wiggins played exceptionally well. Yeah. Kevon Looney played exceptionally well. I mean, all of these Jordan Poole at times played really well. I mean, all of these guys just came together in an unexpected way, and they just showed such a strong belief in themselves and each other after being totally counted out.
We're talking to Melissa Rowland, Fox Sports NBA reporter, here in studio with us on The Herd. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd. He'll be back next week from vacation. So Draymond also said that we didn't guarantee it, but he feels like they're going to win three of the next four. Now, I don't think they're going to win three of the next four. However, I do think when you're the dynasty, when you're our current dynasty, when you're the champions, when you're bringing mostly everyone back, you're at the top of the mountain. You get to talk to all the peasants that way. And I think that they will win another one. I would not be surprised if they win multiple ones. I'm going to defer to the dynasty when they believe that. But do you think that they will win more?
I do think they'll win more. I think they've proven that you can't count them out. It's interesting because I talked to Bob Myers right before the season ended. And he talked about just sort of how, you know, at one point people were questioning whether the team should be blown up. And he felt like Steph, Dre, and Klay deserved another chance to win a championship together. And meanwhile, he's been trying to build pieces around them, develop those players, and everything came together so well. And I don't see any of them slowing down. Steph just gets better as he ages. He's gotten stronger. He's added musculature. He's become more of a complete player. He's a two-way player. We've seen him play better defense than he's ever played.
Yeah.
Klay, this postseason, he wasn't himself.
No.
Coming off ACL injury, coming off Achilles tear, he was not himself. He's going to get better this offseason. We're going to see a different version of him when he comes back. Draymond, he wasn't himself a lot during the playoffs. Like, we talked about those, you know, obscene chants, yeah. which we can't repeat here.
But everyone knows.
Everybody knows. But they took him out of his game a little bit. You know, he's known as being like the most gritty, toughest, hard-nosed player out there. And sometimes he wasn't himself. When those guys are all on, who can stop them?
Well, yeah, especially when you look around the West. I mean, you don't know this because this just recently happened, but I'm like very in on John Wall's the Clippers.
Her new favorite team.
I'm drinking Clippers Kool-Aid okay. right now. I do think it's going to require them all being healthy in the postseason and deep into the postseason, which is obviously a big question mark with the Clippers. But when you look around the West and you look at the veterans that you need, the depth that you need to take them out, I agree with you. I think that they should be favored again. So let's talk about some other moves around the NBA right now, starting with Harden, who really struggled in the postseason this year. We haven't really seen consistent vintage Harden, if you will, for a while. He had one moment during the, you know, in the playoffs where we all got a little scared and then he, you know, came back down. But the report is that he's going to be making a bit of a team friendly deal. To me, I feel like that's commendable. If this ends up happening, like, this is a smart move for Harden at this point in his career. They have an opportunity to win a championship in Philadelphia.
Absolutely. I mean, it would have been a mistake for him to opt in because then the 76ers would have been pretty handicapped.
Yeah.
And so by him opting out and potentially agreeing to a longer term contract for less money, it opens up the 76ers to pursue other guys to add to the roster to potentially help them win a championship. Harden's never won a championship. He's smart enough to know that this is his chance, and he's smart enough to know that his value on the market has also greatly plummeted. I mean, he forced his way out of Houston. He forced his way out of the Nets. For him to leave another team, it just wouldn't look good. Second of all, his play during the playoffs, he stunk. I mean, he really stunk, especially when they were eliminated in the second round. I mean, it was just
The number drop-offs are obvious. Like, he was significantly worse in the playoffs.
Absolutely. So it was smart of him to buy into the 76ers completely, to say, you know what, I'm going to do whatever it takes, even if it takes making a sacrifice myself, making a little bit less money to try to win a championship here, to invest in this team, to do this right here, right now. That was the smartest thing he could have done.
So I love this DeJounte Murray move to the Hawks. I hate it for the Heat, but I love it for the Hawks.
Yeah.
And I also really like Spurs players. Most people around the league do. There's a Spurs way. And as you know, a Spurs tree that, you know, just gets treated a little differently around the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
I just think this is the perfect addition to this team and the perfect partner for Trae Young. Rick Bucher and I were talking about it a little earlier in the show that this feels a little bit Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, like you have earlier, not now, not, you know, the player that Steph has developed into and being a two-way player and moving without the ball and all of that. I think Trae is still a bit away from that, but he's a tremendous offensive player. He's clearly the face of the organization, and DeJounte Murray is a two-way player that is a playmaker and plays defense. So I think this is a perfect pair for him.
I agree, because that's Trae's biggest criticism, right? He's not a great defender. The Hawks were 26 in defense last season. And DeJounte is a great defender. He's hard-nosed. He prides himself on playing good defense. So I think he's really going to complement Trae. I also find it really interesting from the Spurs perspective, because I'll tell you this. So I used to cover the Spurs as well. I've never seen Pop so happy this season. He was just light. He was happy. And I was with him when he won titles. Obviously, the team didn't even make the playoffs this season. But I think he really enjoys coaching young guys. And he really enjoys the challenge of that, the sort of carefree lightness of that. So I think also he's looking forward to the challenge, almost like harkening back to his Pomona Pitzer days of working with a bunch of younger guys. Meanwhile, this could not have been a better move for DeJounte.
Yeah, I love it for him. I love it for the Hawks. That's interesting that you said that about Pop, because my initial thought was, does this mean that Popovich is kind of like ready to, I mean, they're getting all these draft picks, but you're saying he loves coaching young players. Like, how much longer is Pop going to coach for?
Oh, that's such a good question. You know, I really don't want him to leave.
I don't either. I don't like playing that game. Like, when's Belichick going to leave? When's Brady going to leave? When's Popovich going to leave? But that was my other thought after DeJounte was traded. It was like, maybe, because we've been talking about this with who is going to replace him. You know, he's a Bill Belichick type. Like, who's going to replace Popovich? Who's going to replace Popovich?
Right. Well, you can't replace Popovich. That's the thing. But allegedly, Popovich gave his approval to trade DeJounte. So he was okay with it. He was in on it. I think he's just in a good place right now in his life. There's no pressure on him, and he enjoys the challenge. I mean, it's kind of funny when he's 73 now, is that correct? I mean, he's up there and he's working with guys who are, 19 years old? It's kind of funny. I mean, like, even just him not knowing the music they're listening to or the cultural references and learning about that and learning them and getting a kick out of them. And, you know, he's such a great player development coach too. Like, guys fall in love with him. I was with the Spurs when they got DeJounte. And it's funny because DeJounte obviously had a pretty checkered past. And the Spurs really believed in him. And that all fell behind Pop. Pop decided, you know what, I'm going to support you. I believe that you're going to be the best version of yourself when you come to the Spurs. And he absolutely developed into that, turning into an all-star this season. Nobody saw that he'd become an all-star so quickly. So it's really an incredible story. And I think Pop really enjoys that challenge.
Yeah, well, I'm really excited for it. And I'm with you on that. Like, that's what I love about DeJounte going to the Hawks and being a former Spurs, that he did have that opportunity to develop with a Popovich and become a professional and an all-star under, you know, a legendary coach and legendary system and culture in San Antonio. Melissa Rowland, Fox Sports NBA reporter, always a pleasure. Make sure you check out her work on foxsports.com. Follow her on social media at Melissa Rowland. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Joy.
Always great to have you with us.
So great to be on.
Yes. I am also all in on the Eagles. So I've got the Clippers and the Eagles. Our Eagles fans on staff are not buying into my hype, but we'll discuss that next on The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it. $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com.
It's the first ever USFL championship game live from the Pro Football Hall of Fame Stadium in Canton. The Birmingham Stallions and Philadelphia Stars go head-to-head in a quest to take home the historic first title Sunday at 7:30 Eastern on Fox.
Welcome back to The Herd. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd all week as he's enjoying his vacation. He will be back on Monday, and then I will be off on my vacation, and I am looking forward to it. Alex just got back from her vacation, and she is here with us, and it is time for the news.
Turn on the news!
This is the Herd Line
News.
You
like that setup? I do. It's like we all kind of went like, Kate, tag your turn. Kate, tag your turn. It's like I went first, and Kate, Colin, you go. Colin's going to come back. Kate, Joy, you go.
We're running a relay.
We are. It's good teamwork. All right, well, let's talk about the champs again, because in Game 3 of the NBA Finals, Draymond admittedly had an awful performance, which he attributes to how he was treated by the fans in Boston. Now, the Celtics ended up winning that game and were looking for a 3-1 series lead, but Steph Curry had an incredible 43-point double-double in Game 4 to even the series at 2, and Draymond has a very specific theory as to what set Curry off.
The emotion from him in Game 4... I selfishly think, and no one's going to stop me from thinking this, I selfishly think it was in protection of me. What you dive into is your struggling playing. Is your game, but I couldn't really dive into that. I was struggling. And so I'm like, wow. And I think he visibly saw that.
I think this whole conversation, we've played it a couple times today, really, first of all, humanizes Draymond Green, because he is such a figure where he is that tough guy. He's the one that has no fear. No one's going to take him down. He is like the bulldozer that sets the tone for the team. And hearing that that's not always the case. We're all human. No matter what kind of facade or what kind of image we portray or character we put on when we are on, we are all still human. And the fact, we just talked about this again, that his teammate that he has spent so much time with, Steph Curry, is able to see that. This is what takes a good team to a great team to a championship team to now the best that we have seen in a long time. And I think Steph Curry had a lot to prove too. There was a lot of doubts that he might have not been as great as people were talking about.
Well, I think everything that Melissa just said is really true. We're obviously bathing in the greatness of, basking in the greatness, not
yes.
Bathing. We talked for 3 hours. Look, I'm going to get something wrong. Basking in the greatness of Steph Curry and the Warriors right now, but they had the worst record in the league and they were down bad for 2 years. Now, we know obviously a big part of that was injuries, but there was plenty of people saying that there's no way they're climbing back out of this. Probably myself included. Now, to go from being as great as they were to being that bad is kind of the best motivation that you can have when you're at the top. To know that people are doubting you that way, to feel actually the losing. It's not just that people are doubting you. Like, you're really losing. You're really bad.
Yeah, really
and
bad.
The reason why is really kind of irrelevant. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think these tiny things, when you get back up to the top, are the difference in championships and dynasties and, just being an all-time great team that, didn't win. And, obviously winning in six is something else entirely as well. I was hoping for a game seven, but
I think everyone does.
It's really impressive what the Warriors have done. And that's why I give them so much credit. That's why I love this team so much. And I love talking about this team and I admire what they do. Mm-hmm. I like people that do their job well. I don't know. I like functioning situations.
That's a great
I like
thing.
When people treat, their players and personnel and, staff well. And I like when they're rewarded with that.
Yeah.
With winning and championships and dynasties. Like, that to me is how you do things the right way. And that's why I don't understand the current backlash of, now they're just spending too much money. Like, all right.
Do what you got to do.
What do you want them to do?
Do what you got to do.
We get mad at teams when they don't pay players who deserve to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're mad at owners for spending too much. Like, I don't know what else to, I don't know what else to critique with them.
No, I think the biggest thing, Melissa brought it up, in dynasties, you don't often see when they're at the top, hit rock bottom.
Yeah, you don't see a total collapse.
And then come right back up to the top and now believe that they're back up there because everyone's healthy. They have a chance again. It's something special. And I always say, why not appreciate greatness when it's right in front of you?
Well, sometimes it takes a little time to see that. There are people that really just hate the Warriors, and that's fine. I was this way with Tom Brady for a long time, being a Dolphins and Steelers fan.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But eventually, and it really was a moment after, and it wasn't that I ever hated Tom Brady. I have stuff to do.
Yeah.
But it's irritating to constantly lose to someone all the time. And especially, a dynasty like the Patriots. But after that comeback against Atlanta, I was like, I give up. What is the greatest ever? What am I supposed to do? I'm going to watch the rest of his career and enjoy it. It's the same thing with LeBron. When LeBron came to the Lakers, yeah. I'm like, I'm over what happened in Miami with him leaving Miami. I'm just going to enjoy watching one of the greatest mm-hmm. players of all time play mm-hmm. a sport that I love. I can't just sit in this animosity forever.
Appreciate greatness when it's right in front of your face.
Got to do it.
You got to do it. All right, switching to James Harden, who declined his $47.3 million option with the 76ers yesterday and will become a free agent. But Harden is keeping the possibility of staying in Philly on the table, obviously. Reports indicate that Harden and the 76ers are willing to meet in the middle so he can get a long-term security that he needs while providing the team with cap flexibility. Now, Harden is eligible for a max. The high is $47, $48 million per year, but willing to reduce his salary to the mid-30 range, so he would be taken off about $10 million. And honestly, I think this is the smartest thing he can do right now. He does not have a lot to show for over his last couple of seasons. Didn't have a great playoff run. He has not had great playoff runs. He has 13 playoff runs in his 15 years in the league with nothing to show for it. That's got to be frustrating.
I mean, he's a Hall of Fame player. He's when he was in his prime, you know, probably one of the most prolific scorers that we've ever seen. It's not that he's not an all-time great, but you do want a championship. And at this point, when you've got, you know, you've made close to, you know, $500 million in your career, it might be in your best interest. And also, if they're going to give you a long-term deal at this mm-hmm. point in your career, take a little less and get a long-term deal in place. So there is benefits on both sides to them doing this. To Melissa's point, like, this is a better situation for him to take a long-term deal.
Oh yeah.
But I also think that he deserves credit if he does end up doing this. We can't get on players for taking all the money, and we can't get on players for not having self-awareness for where they are mm-hmm. in their career, and then not give them the flowers when they do make concessions like this that he absolutely does not have to make. He can absolutely make as much money as he wants to make.
Yeah.
He's a professional. This is what he does for a living.
And you have a short window. People forget that athletes, yes, they make a ton of money, but it is a 10 to 15, if you're lucky, 20-year window where you get to make some money. So you got to make it all at once. You got to invest it well and then have a plan after. So yeah, I'm with you about the money, but I also think this is his best opportunity to actually make a run. If he wants to get there, the team has potential. They want to work with him.
Joel Embiid, who was almost a league MVP last year, if he can have another season like that and they use this money that they've opened up to bring in a veteran player that can contribute, that they are in contention.
Yeah, smart. Interesting to see how it's all going to play out and who they are able to get with that extra money. Let's switch gears, because Freddie Freeman is a Dodger today, but if he had it his way, the National League may look a little different. Freeman fired his agent on Tuesday following his free agency, and many linked the decision to him not re-signing with the Braves. Now, yesterday, Doug Gottlieb provided more insight, tweeting Casey Close never told Freddie Freeman about the Braves' final offer. That is why Freeman fired him. He found out in Atlanta this weekend. It isn't that rare to have happen in the MLB, but it happened. Close knew Freddie would have taken the Atlanta deal. Now, in a tweet response, Excel Sports put out a statement on behalf of Close saying, Doug Gottlieb tweeted a wholly inaccurate characterization of our negotiations with the Atlanta Braves on behalf of Freddie Freeman. We are immediately evaluating all legal options to address the reckless publication of the inaccurate information. Now, this whole situation seems very messy and very unfortunate. Now, I don't know how it's all going to play out. No one's going to know the exact way it all went down except the agency and the Braves, not even Freddie. He's just hearing hearsay right now. But I'm not sure if the agent thought that he was actually helping him in the long run or thought it was a good idea to not give him the information of where he wanted to stay. But at the end of the day, agents work for you. And in this situation, it's lying, it's deceiving, it's frustrating. Freddie is, he was Atlanta. He had just won a World Series
with
them. Yeah,
I mean, look at him. The Dodgers isn't a bad place to end up, by the way.
But yeah,
I mean, if this is true, this is not obviously how you want to do business. I mean, he could have fired him for any number of reasons.
But it happens right after he goes to Atlanta, gets his World Series ring, very emotional there.
Yes.
And get some news.
Well,
yeah,
it's you know, there's worse places you could end up than the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah.
I do understand that, obviously, if he wanted to stay in Atlanta and this ends up being true, obviously, that would be heartbreaking that you didn't get that opportunity to stay where you wanted
your
to stay.
With one team.
But you could do worse than the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Oh, yeah.
That's Alex Curry with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
So it's basically been back and forth in the NFC East for the last 17 years. The NFC East has not had a repeat winner since 2004. That's the longest active streak among divisions in NFL history. That's not why I'm on the Eagles this year. I think that the way the Cowboys season ended and what's happened this offseason, and mostly the fact that I'm not a Cowboys fan and I'm done pretending like they are Super Bowl contenders, they're in contention to win the NFC East. But I am on the Eagles this year. And so is Woody High alum, Woodland Hills alum, Miles Sanders. He thinks that they have something special going on there. Here is Miles Sanders' quote from CBS Sports on the Eagles roster this year. He said, "We all feel like we're on an all-star team, so we feel great. We feel unstoppable. I'm not going to lie. The vibes are great. Always have been. Nick Sirianni is doing a great job just keeping the vibes right, the chemistry good. We compete a lot in practice, so we've got to see. It's got to come down to camp. Taking it day by day, putting everything together." Now, I was very excited about this morning, but our Eagles fans on the staff were like, "Nope, we're not falling for it." And I can understand, being a Dolphins fan, like, I'm not falling for the bait this year. I want to wait and see. I want to see what happens. I'm going to wait and see. I am going to be, I don't even call it cautiously optimistic. But another reason why Eagles fans might not be so quick to, you know, jump into all of the hype this year was, you know, it's a little reminiscent of Vince Young in 2011. You remember this proclamation.
What other pieces of this team has added, Vince, in just the past few days?
Oh, dream team. From Nande to Camardi, from Jason to myself, you know. I know they're going to do some more things. You know, it's just beautiful that to see that, you know, where we're trying to go. And I'm all for it.
I like it. I like the confidence. Now, there's a little revisionist history. They went 8-8 that year. So it's not like things fell completely off the rails. You act like you won three games that year. Now, obviously, dream team is, you know, a little bit of an exaggeration of a quote when you talk about how that season went. But I know Eagles fans aren't ready to jump on the hype, take that dive because of the scars, which I understand. I don't have scars with the Eagles. Maybe after this year I will. But I love the moves they made this offseason. I think they had a lot of great additions. A.J. Brown, which is I'm very excited about. It's going to be another year for Jalen Hurts. Led all quarterbacks with rushing touchdowns last year. I'm going crazy on the Eagles this year. I was so wrong about Nick Sirianni. That's not why, but I was very wrong about Nick Sirianni. I like the momentum they're building. And someone different wins the NFC East every single year for the last 17 years. So why not the Eagles? It's okay. You can get excited, Eagles fans. It's all right. Just follow me down this wormhole. When we come back, who has the most pressure on them around the league in the NFL at the quarterback position? We play Pressure Meter next on The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike, and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HEARD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HEARD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com.
Welcome back to The Herd. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd. Let's play quarterback pressure cooker. Is it pressure cooker or pressure meter? What did we decide on?
Pressure cooker.
Okay.
That's what I have in my paper.
Cool, let's do it.
Okay. How much pressure does Trey Lance have going into this season?
I will decide whether they have low, medium, or high pressure heading into the season. Trey Lance is medium pressure. Okay. He's still basically a rookie. He only has 3 starts and 101 pass attempts over his 2 seasons. So he's only 22 years old, and they gave up a lot of picks, 3 first-round picks to move up and draft him. So they are going to move forward with him regardless after this year. But, you know, he's coming off of Jimmy Garoppolo's era with the Niners, and that was a lot of winning, a lot of injuries, but also a lot of winning. So medium pressure, especially with this organization.
All right, how much pressure does Russell Wilson have coming into this season?
High pressure. You could argue the highest amount of pressure because the last 2 big-time quarterbacks to move, as you mentioned earlier, Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady, switched teams deep into their career, won Super Bowls, first year with their new team. Now, I don't expect that with the Broncos. I didn't expect it with either of those players either. But, you know, they have a new coach as well. It's Russell Wilson. He's forced his way out of Seattle. He's a, you know, future Hall of Famer, and I think a lot of people feel like he probably needs another Super Bowl. The Broncos have been a quarterback away for a while. There's a lot of pressure on Russell Wilson this year.
All right, how much pressure does Dak Prescott have this season?
Medium pressure. The Cowboys have won 3 playoff games in 25 years, but he does make a lot of money, and rightfully so. I do believe that he deserved it.
Yeah.
They did have some losses this offseason. Nobody seems to think Amari Cooper or Cedric Wilson are a big deal, but CeeDee Lamb's going to have to become a true number one. What happens with Mike McCarthy if they don't do well this year? And a lot of that is going to ride on Dak Prescott, who always puts up great numbers, but again, it doesn't translate to postseason success. I love Dak Prescott. He's one of my favorite players in the league, but he's got a little bit of pressure on him this year.
All right, how much pressure does Matthew Stafford have coming into the season?
Low pressure, low pressure. He spent 12 years in Detroit paying his dues in the league and won a Super Bowl in his first season joining the Rams. I do think there are a lot of expectations of the Rams to be great again this year because you look around the NFC, there's not a whole lot of competition at that level. They've made some additions this offseason, Allen Robinson replacing Robert Woods. They could bring Odell back during the season. But he shut all the haters up and won the Super Bowl,
yep.
Which I'm happy for him. He deserved it. I don't think there's a lot of pressure on him this year.
I'm calling back to back. All right, how much pressure does Justin Herbert have going into this season?
High pressure. Joe Burrow just played in a Super Bowl against Matthew Stafford, and that is this guy that was drafted in his draft class. And he's still searching for his first career playoff appearance, not even win. They had an aggressive offseason. They need to take advantage of his rookie deal also as well. But he is tremendous talent. Love watching him play. No question he's a star, but they do need to make the playoffs this year.
How much pressure does Aaron Rodgers have coming into this season?
Medium pressure. I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers is a postseason quarterback now. We can have that conversation. He doesn't do anything in the postseason. He's a tremendous regular season quarterback, back-to-back MVP. They were the number one seed in the NFC, had home field advantage, and we know how that ended. So I thought it was a catastrophic ending for their season, but we don't even talk about it. Medium pressure on him.
How much pressure does Tua have coming into this season?
High pressure. They've already tried to replace him twice. For Tua and on, they've already tried to replace him twice with Tom Brady and Deshaun Watson. First year under his new head coach, Mike McDaniel. But I think if this goes badly with all the moves they've made this offseason, he will not be the starting quarterback in Miami next year. So high pressure on Tua.
How much pressure does Trevor Lawrence have coming into this season?
Low pressure. New head coach. It was a disaster last year. Any kind of development with Trevor Lawrence would be a step in the right direction. I'm rooting for him. I think he had a really bad start and go to the season last year, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does under his new coach. That is Pressure Cooker. We had a few more we'll get to. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. Maybe we'll do the second half of Pressure Cooker tomorrow. Thanks for joining us on The Herd. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd. He's on vacation this week, enjoying the Caribbean. He will be back on Monday. I'm alongside Alex Curry. Coming up on The Herd, more NBA news.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl goes shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.